You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson. And today, wherever you, whatever time you may be listening to this show, we have a really good show for you with a motivational speaker and personal coach from the beautiful, sunny Southern California area. So stay tuned because I'm going to give you a little bit more information about that. But before we get into today's show, what I would like for you to do is find a place for you to sit down, relax, grab something to write with, get your favorite beverage, and just let the family or whoever know that you just need a few minutes so that you can just work on yourself so that you can be in a better place, better space for them when this little bit of time that you're going to take with yourself is all done. So do that. And I want to also begin by thanking our sponsors for the show. I want to thank Blissful Living For You at blissfullivingforyou.com. They have a lot of wonderful programs to help you amplify your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living your dream life. If you are looking to get your body right as we approach the warmer months, then you want to check out their special that they have regarding just that, so that your body could be, as they like to say, butt-ass naked and looking really good for the warmer weather. If you want to just work through some mindset challenges or some challenges that are holding you back a little bit, they have stuff for that. And if you want to really work on the wealth component, they have information and items for that. So go ahead, check them out. Lots of free stuff for you to just get a taste of what they have to offer, and then you can explore more if you choose to do so. Again, that's Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com. The next sponsor I would like to thank is All Day Cable Incorporated, telecommunications installation company located in the heart of Silicon Valley, going on their 31st year of business. They focus on installing voice data, fiber optic cabling, as well as wireless access points, setting up your whole complete backbone network distribution room, or as they say in the business, the telecom room, and any other needs that you may have when it comes to audio, video, and visual equipment. If you have a need, if you're a small, medium, or large corporation or business, definitely check them out. They have had customers that have been with them since the inception of the business, and these customers are still doing business with them today. So that speaks volume in today's business arena. Again, All Day Cable Incorporated is the company to go to because they make the right connections so that when you need to connect with your customers, clients, friends, and family, you make that right connection the first time as well. And so let's get on with the show. Today's show, let me tell you about the gentleman that I'm going to be chatting with. His name is Kevin Nahal, and he's a motivational speaker and a personal coach. Now, when he was 19 years old, he was suddenly diagnosed with an incurable disease of the stomach that caused him to be able to not be able to eat, and suffering through excruciating pain and living in a hospital for months, he fell into a deep depression. He began experiencing panic attacks, and he developed severe anorexia. He was down to 112 pounds, and his body had begun to fail him, and his mind had given up. He resolved to take his own life one night in the winter of 2011. By the grace of God, he survived to tell the tale, but still spent most of his 20s suffering through crippling anxiety, toxic relationships, and a complete lack of confidence. After 7+ years of deep therapy, mentorship, and meditation, he was able to transform his life and become a speaker and coach. And he believes that the final stage of healing is using what you went through in order to help other people. So every day he harnesses his experiences and helps others with their romantic relationships, self-esteem, anxiety, and vision of the future. Through clear, practical guidance and actionable daily steps, he is now able to teach others how to feel authentic love for themselves, feel calm and at ease, and create beautiful, lasting relationships. So, Kevin, welcome to Blissful Living. It's a pleasure to have you with us, or with me, I should say.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I love what you said about wealth, wisdom, and wellness. Three things I try to create in my life every day.
You know, for me, that I discovered a long time ago that, you know, those are the pillars of life, so to speak, for me. And I know that when all three of those pillars are balanced and healthy and well, then you really are living your dream life, right? You really are living a dream because everybody wants that. Unfortunately, sometimes things get a little off balance and things get out of, you know, get out of balance, as you have experienced, and I have too. Yeah. So, you know, I want to just jump right in and say, with regards to what you were suffering and going through, so we can just give the listeners a starting point. It seemed like it was a pretty, you know, a pretty destitute or pretty depressing state to be in. Yeah, with regards to your health and well-being. And when you had that moment where, I want to say you had that aha moment where you realized you needed to change things, what was it that you did? What was the first thing that you did when it came to your health and well-being? Because you were suffering in that arena. What was the first thing you did that was, I want to say, the jump-off point for you to realizing that a change needed to be made and this is how to start that change, that process?
Sure. So first of all, I'll just clarify that I didn't have one aha moment. I know that is a lot of people's stories where they kind of woke up one day and had a massive realization. For me, it took me a while to get to the point where I was ready, you know, to change and turn things around. I had a series of little aha moments, some little, some big, but it was sort of the culmination of all of those aha moments and all of those pivotal turning points in my life, where I would say finally around the age of 23, 24, I sat down and said, okay, you know, I've had enough challenges. I've, you know, paid the price enough. Clearly what I've been trying to do isn't working. So now it's time to make some changes. So the way that I did that was sort of a two-part process. Mm-hmm. And of course, at the time, I didn't really know that I was doing this. You know, I couldn't articulate it or put it into words. It's only looking back now that I sort of saw my trajectory. The first thing that I had to do was take responsibility for where I ended up. And when I say take responsibility, I don't mean blame myself. You know, I didn't ask for these diseases. I didn't ask for depression. You know, it's not like I'm paying for karma in a past life or something like that. That's not really how I thought of it. But,
right.
But taking responsibility means that nobody else is going to clean this mess up for me. And, you know, if I sit there and feel like a victim and feel like woe is me and, you know, I wish somebody else would fix this for me, it's never going to happen. So the first thing I had to do was really empower myself and believe in myself and sort of take the reins over my own life, because my life had gotten so out of control and I had just sort of let it spin out of control.
Right.
So that was the first step. The second step was harder, which was actually making changes to my daily life.
Mm.
So whatever you do every day is what you're going to get really good at. If you practice tennis for 2 hours a day, you're going to become great at tennis. If you lie to your friends and family every day, you're going to become an excellent liar. You know, so the things that I was doing in my life, how I was spending my time, who I was spending my time with, you know, the amount of stress that I had, the stuff I was eating, the stuff I was not eating, so forth and so on. My daily
right.
routine had basically created a life of being miserable and depressed. So I had to stop hanging out with certain people, start hanging out with better people. I had to sort of get my career on track and figure out, you know, what I wanted to do. I had to start meditating. I had to start being really serious about my mental health, therapy, exercise, you know, all of these things. And so it from 1 month to another, the way that I was living changed a lot because
let me ask you this. So you have this, you have this realization that you needed to make some changes, and part of those changes had to do with not just what you were, say, taking in, so to speak, but everything that you were doing in your daily life, including, you know, disassociating with people and allowing other people to come into your life. When it came time for you to disassociate, and sometimes, you know, that's hard because sometimes you have to disassociate with people that you really do care about, except for they're just not really good for you to be with, right? When you started to do that, what was the experience mentally and physically that it had on you? Meaning, what happened in your mind, and then what happened with regards to your well-being of your body?
So when I was young, about 19, 20, 21, it wasn't so much a matter of disassociating with people that I cared about as it was associating with better people, because I didn't really have any friends when I first got to college. I was so sick, and I was trying to make friends, you know, but people didn't want to be friends with me because they saw that I was, you know, messed up and, you know,
right.
I didn't look right. So,
gotcha. Okay.
You know, I was extremely lonely trying to just meet good people. Then I met some good people. Then I found out that they weren't so good. And, you know, then like just like anybody else, over the years, I've had to sort of trim the fat and, you know, figure out who are the people who are really in my corner and make me better every day. And what I've learned is that, especially when you're young, it's really scary to go through that process of disassociating yourself from people who you've been hanging out with, people that you care about, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But a sign of maturity is that the older you get, the smaller your social circle gets, you know? And it's quality over quantity. So, you know, unless, you know, you've got 10 friends and every single one of them are fantastic quality, man, you might just be incredibly lucky, you know, that those are the people that you know. But the older you get and the more mature you get, you know, we all in our 20s, maybe 30s, we all should be going through this process where we're like, damn, you know, people I used to be friends with are kind of dropping off like flies. And that can be scary.
That's so funny because, you know, I've been through that. I mean, I can totally relate to like the whole, you know, each decade of like my life when I was younger. You know, you said you hit a key point, you know, as you mature, your circle of friends becomes smaller, closer, tighter, and it could be for a variety amount of reasons. Sometimes people start dying off as you age, right? And then sometimes it's just by attrition, and you know, people get married and have kids, and you might not be in that situation, or you know, it's all different kind of reasons. But it is funny because as you age, each decade, you know, your circle of friends gets tighter and tighter, and so it's interesting that you notice
but
that.
But I think you also gotta stop and take a look at which people you're keeping around that you should no longer be keeping around.
Right.
You know.
Right. Definitely.
Because they
definitely agree with that. Definitely.
And
let me ask.
Sorry.
You,
go ahead.
I want to ask you so. You know, with regards to what you've been sharing, it seems like a lot of it has to start with some inner work, definitely, for sure, and getting self-esteem with regards to being able to move forward and realizing that you need to make some definite changes in your life. With regards to a message, particularly I want to say for the younger people, the 20-somethings, when it comes to self-esteem, because in today's society, self-esteem is everything that for these younger people seems to be everything that's external of them, and how something that's external of them matters of values to how, make them feel however they feel, right? With regards to self-esteem, can you just share with the listeners what is self-esteem and how does it really, really work in comparison to how we're seeing it evolve in today's society?
Okay, so there is a difference between self-esteem, self-respect, and self-confidence. All of these terms get lumped into one, but they're all different. It's all slightly different. Of course, they're all related. I define self-esteem as your feeling of how worthy you are, how deserving you are, how much value you have sort of as a person in the world. Mm-hmm. And our self-esteem is often driven down into the toilet because of comparison, right? And you said because of external things, cars, clothes, money, we look at other people's relationships, we look at their lives, we look at Instagram, whatever, and we think, I don't have enough, I'm not doing enough, I'm not good enough, and that drives our self-esteem down into the toilet. However, there is a caveat here, which is that in order for your self-esteem, your feeling of deservingness, worthiness, value, in order for your self-esteem to increase, it won't increase by telling yourself 100 times a day, I'm worthy, I'm deserving, I'm wonderful. It increases through actually seeing changes, through actually creating changes in your life. We build our self-esteem through esteemable behavior. We build self-respect through respectable behavior. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you get $1 million in your bank and suddenly your self-esteem is so high, because we know lots of rich people who are very unhappy with themselves. But what I'm saying is, if you are unhappy with yourself and you feel like you're not worth very much, then you have to change your body, you have to change your mind, you have to change your friends, you have to start doing something that is fulfilling, you have to feel like you are making a dent in the universe. You know, you have to do things that make you feel valuable and important. Now, your value shouldn't necessarily be measured by how much money you have in the bank or, you know, the clothes that you're wearing or materialistic external things. But there are some things that do measure your value. One of those things is the strength of your relationships with your friends, with, you know, your romantic relationship, your family. If the people that you're hanging out with all the time are constantly dragging you down, then that's something you need to change. You need to see that you have brought better people into your life in order for your feeling of worthiness to increase. If you're sitting in your grandmother's basement smoking pot all day, right, then your self-esteem is not going to be very high, because you don't feel like you're doing anything worthy or valuable in the world. So, you know, our self-esteem shouldn't be measured by external things, but at the same time, there is a generation now of like gurus and writers and coaches who say that you can lift yourself out of feeling terrible by simply telling yourself that you're awesome and you're worthy and you're deserving.
And yeah, and that just not doesn't true. Work. Yeah, I
you know,
agree with
I 100%. Had to get serious with myself. I had to get serious with myself and say, you know what, Kevin? Right now, you're not good enough the way you are. And that's okay. And here's the crucial distinction. It's not, I'm not good enough the way that I am. I'm horrible. My life is going to be in the toilet. So I should just give up. It's, I'm not good enough the way that I am right now. And I'm being honest with myself about that, so that I can go out and get what I want. I'm taking an honest assessment of where I am, right? So that I can move forward toward where I want to be. Because
That's great, because you know what? It actually gives people a starting point that is their starting point, because everybody's going to be at a different place and a different spectrum with regards to that. But just where you're at right now, it's okay. No matter where you're at, you can always take a step forward to make progress to get to where you want to be. And so I love that. I love a lot of what you shared. I just want to ask you to share with the listeners, when it comes, because we're talking about self-esteem and your self-worth and all of that, how does one actually know what their self-worth or what their worth is?
How does one know what their worth is?
Yeah.
That's
because,
a great
question.
It's like
we have to know our worth, but if someone's listening and they have no idea, like, what do you mean my worth? I don't know what that is. How do I even decipher what my worth is? Other people may definitely know, yeah, I know what my worth is, you know, but there's people
right.
that may not know what exactly we're talking about. I want you to speak to those people because I think what you have to say and what you're going to share is going to be profound and is going to help a lot of people just kind of get clued in that may need to hear this message. So can you just share with
sure.
with us what that is?
I didn't know what my worth was either. I didn't even know what it meant to be worth something because I hated myself so much and I thought that I was worth nothing. So the idea that I could be worth something was very foreign to me. And I boil it down to five metrics. If you want to know what your worth is, if you want to know how much you respect yourself and how high or low your self-esteem is, look at these five areas. One is, what do you do with your time? Are you at a job that you hate? Are you not working? Are you doing something important with your time? Is the way you're spending your time fulfilling? Two is, who do you spend your time with? And we covered that, right? Are the people in your life your energy vampires? Are they dragging you down? Are they a bad influence? Or are they making you better? Three is, how do you treat your body? Alcohol, drugs, sex, are you giving your body away for free, right? Or are you protecting your body, nurturing it, exercising, eating well, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Four is the nature of your relationships. Who are you dating? Are you dating people who drag you down? Are you, you know, having toxic relationships and long drawn out breakups? Are you having relationship problems with people you're no longer in a relationship with, right? If those things are true, then you need to, you know, reevaluate. And five, which is possibly the best indicator, is, how do you talk to yourself all day long? There's a 99 out of 100% chance that you talk to yourself worse than you would talk to your best friend. Because I know that when I was, you know, younger and going through all my struggles, I was telling myself how horrible I am and how unworthy I am and what an idiot I am and how useless and how ugly and all of these things I would never say to my best friend or somebody that I love or care about.
Right.
So to me, you look at the aggregate of these five things. How do I spend my time? Who do I spend my time with? How do I treat my body? How are my relationships with men or women or whatever? And how do I talk to myself? And that will show you what your worth is. If all of those things are high value, they're all fulfilling, they're all healthy, then you know that you're doing great. If you have some areas of improvement, then you have a good foundation and you need to work on the others. If they're all in the toilet, that is okay. I have been there. You just need to get someone in your corner to hold your hand and help you to the other side. No matter what it is, we can't go back and change the beginning, but we can start where we are and change the ending.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's absolutely, I mean, I love it. It's a great message, nugget of gold for the listeners out there, and a nugget of gold that you definitely share with people that you know, love, and care about, because I think sometimes even those of us that know our worth, we still need to be reminded of the things that make up our worth and reminded of things that should be important to us and what we should value when it comes to knowing our worth. So thank you so much for sharing that, Kevin. Now I want to ask you, because with regards, we've been talking about self-esteem and knowing your worth, and without this one, we can't complete, I want to say, like the little triad, confidence. Can you talk a little bit about self-confidence with regards to what it is and the difference between self-confidence and self-esteem?
Sure, of course. So as I said earlier, I define self-esteem as your feeling of inherent worth or how valuable you are as a person, what you deserve as a person. Self-confidence, on the other hand, they're related, but I define self-confidence as your feeling of how capable you are, how good you are at something or some things, right? So for example, you might be extremely confident at your job, and you're an engineer, and you're very educated, and you know that you're killing it at work, but you have extreme social anxiety around people, and you're not very confident about, you know, around people. That may not necessarily mean that you have low self-esteem. It just means that you think, I'm good at working, but I'm not very good at socializing. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, the key to confidence in my book is two things. One is comparison is the killer of confidence. So self-confidence is not about being better than anybody else or having more than anybody else. It's about not having to compare yourself to anybody else.
Oh,
so the first thing.
Wait. Hold up, Kevin. That's a mic drop right there. I just dropped the mic. Can you say that one more time,
yeah,
please?
Self-confidence is not about being better than anybody else or having more than anybody else. It's about not having to compare yourself to anybody else.
Mm, powerful.
Because they have their skill sets, they have their money, they have their lives. Good for them. And you know what? I'm confident in my own abilities. I have high self-esteem. I know my own worth. So why do I need to compare myself to them? I'm a monkey. They're a dog. You know what I'm saying? It's apples to oranges.
Right.
Monkeys and dogs are both cute and wonderful. You know?
Yes. Yes. Like I'm an orange and they're a banana. And we both are good for you, but we're just different. And I'm confident being an orange, you know, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So we're busting. We are crushing our superpowers. We are crushing our superpowers by comparing ourselves to other people. And I mean, it's easier said than done when I say don't compare yourself. I get that. You know, I'm human too. I compare myself all the time. But I'm aware of it and I catch it and I say, what does that guy with that life, with that hot girl, with that nice car, whatever, what does he have to do with me? What business of it is mine? You know, nobody's out to get me. He didn't go to the car dealership and buy a Ferrari and say, I'm buying this to spite some guy named Kevin that I don't
Kevin.
Know. You know what I'm saying? Like
he's
just living his life.
I love it. It's great. You know, I like what you're sharing, and I think it's definitely that the right time for people to hear this and to, if they already know it, to rehear it, and those that don't know it to really hear it, because I think it's game changing and it's life changing, and it has the possibility to help people push through some things and become self confident and develop self esteem and develop their knowing their worth. Now, I want to ask you, when it comes to, you know, our self esteem, particularly when we're dating or in our career or, you know, our friendships or accomplishments, how does our self-esteem actually either enhance or hamper those areas in our lives? And what can we do if we realize that we are challenged in that area to progress forward in a more positive manner?
So this is a tricky question. You know, there's two ways of going about it. One is that you can try to become better at the things that you're not great at and sort of make yourself more well-rounded. So, for example, in the example I gave before about being good at work but not being the best in social situations, you can, you know, do some work on your social anxiety so that your self-esteem and your self-confidence in that setting is a little bit higher and you're not as anxious, and that's okay. But I think that that's a slippery slope, because often the things that we are not very good at are not things we are meant to be good at. And I spent a lot of my life trying to become good at things that I'm always going to be terrible at. rather than focusing my energy on what can I become a master at.
Right.
So now the way that I live my life is there are just some things that don't come naturally to me. You know, mathematics is one of them, accounting, business, things like that. You know, I'm running a business now, but I have a business coach because I'm not that great at business. I'm extraordinary with people, right? But I also need to run a business. I'm going to have to put food on the table for my family. So I could kill myself spending the next dozen years trying to become better at business and feeling insecure about the fact that I don't have good business acumen. Or I could get a business coach, learn what I can, and refocus my efforts on what am I already good at that I can become extraordinary at. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like, you know, for those things that you know you're not destined to be good at, it's okay to delegate, contract out, whatever you need to do to people that they're destined to be good at, you know, so that you can focus on what you are good at, you know, that's, you know, quote unquote, your purpose. You know, as much as I like watching tennis or basketball, I don't care if I practice 100 hours a day, I'm never going to be a Venus or Serena Williams or, you know, Lisa Leslie or Cheryl Swoops or in the WNBA or Stephen Curry in the NBA. It's never going to happen because that is not my forte. But there are other things I know that I'm a killer at this. I know there's nobody better than me. I know I'm the best nurse in the world. You know, I know nursing. I know emergency room nursing. I'm confident at that. I know I'm a good business owner. I know how to run a very successful business or successful businesses.
Right.
So there are things I know that I'm good at, but I'm not going to step into the arena of something and just that I'm not good at because it will be damaging to my self-esteem. And, necessary.
That's a great example because you just described two ways of looking at yourself and looking at the world. The first way is to say, well, I like basketball. I want to get better at basketball, but I'm never going to be Venus or Serena Williams. Does it really matter that much that I'm a great nurse and a great mom and a great wife and whatever? Not really, because there are all of these other things that I'm not good at. I wish I could be better at basketball. The second way to look at it is to say, I like basketball. I'm going to get better at basketball, but I am an extraordinary nurse and I'm fantastic at 6 or 7 other things. And I'm a fantastic human being. So this is an example of, this is what I call the 99-1 problem, which is we focus on the one thing in our lives that is not going perfectly rather than the 99 things in our lives that are going great.
Yes.
You've got 99 things you are good at and 99 things to be grateful for. And instead, you're focused on the one thing that is not going perfectly. I suck in this area, or this isn't really my strength, or I wish I could be more XYZ. I get that, and it's okay to work on those things to improve your weaknesses, right? But the more you're trying to improve those weaknesses, the more it's detracting from the strength you're able to recognize in the areas where you're already really good and powerful and competent. So I think that you know, we need to switch our focus from the one thing that we're not doing perfectly to the 99 things we're doing well.
I love it. So unfortunately, we are at our time, Kevin. And so before we go, I want you to let the listeners know, how can they, you know, find out more about you, get in contact with you, you know, reach out to you for, you know, whatever you have to offer to them? How can they do that?
Sure. I have a text service. You can text me and then we can set up a phone call. The number is 310-923-6060. Or you can find me on Instagram, just my name, Kevin Nahai, KevinNahai. And that phone number one more time is 310-923-6060. So you can message me either of those places.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's been just been really wonderful chatting with you about this topic. I love the nuggets of gold you share for the listeners. And listeners, please, please, if Kevin said something to you that spoke to you, or you want to learn a little bit more about anything that he has to share with you to help you step into being a phenomenally fabulous person, or more phenomenally fabulous than you already are, then you can text him at 310-923-6060. And this information will be on the podcast information site as well. Now, thanks, Kevin. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. And I want to thank our sponsors, Blissful Living For You at blissfullivingforyou.com. Please go check them out. As well as All Day Cable Incorporated at alldaycableincorporatedinc.com. And to all of you listeners, I want to wish you wellness to your body, tranquility to your spirit, and peace to your mind. Stay healthy, well. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson. And one more thing, I must let you know that Kevin sponsored this show. So please, please, please share this show with everyone that you love and care about, because there's words of wisdom and lots of nuggets of gold in this show. So again, thank you to all of you. And until next time, wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, saying goodbye for now.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living For You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfullivingforyou.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.